Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
White nationalism. It's alive in the United States, but not everyone agrees.
White nationalism and its proliferation online have real consequences.
There isn't a single adult today that in good conscience would make the argument that America is a more white nationalist society than it was when my grandfather was growing up.
Hate crimes increase for the third consecutive year, FBI reports.
White supremacy, racism, white nationalism, words that once held real meaning have now become nothing more than election strategies.
Americans have died because of it.
As language changes, it's important for us to be able to understand dog whistles.
The myth of things. Like the Southern switch and the Southern strategy, which never happened.
Counties that hosted a 2016 Trump rally saw a 226% increase in hate crimes.
If they actually were concerned about white nationalism, they would be holding hearings on Antifa.
I did not call this hearing so that some may promote the very messages we need to combat.
The House Judiciary Committee held a hearing on Tuesday that was supposed to tackle the rise of hate crimes and the spreading of white supremacy and hate speech on platforms like Facebook and YouTube. It was the Democrats' chance to shine a light on a very real problem. According to the FBI, reported hate crimes surged nearly 20% in 2017. And because police departments don't have to send this data to the federal government, the Human Rights Campaign says that that number is likely an undercount. But after more than 4 hours of questioning and testimony, no solutions emerged. Instead, it became clear just how partisan the very issue of hate has become. I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're with The Takeaway. And we turn now to two people who can help us parse through some of what was said and what solutions could be on the horizon. Heidi Beirich is the director of the Southern Poverty Law Center's Intelligence Project, and Andy Campbell is a senior reporter at HuffPost covering extremism. Welcome to you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Heidi, let's start with you. This hearing, I mean, I know people are saying this is happening in 2019. Yes, it's 2019. Why are we discussing this now, Heidi? Remind us.
Well, sadly, even though it's 2019, we are now at a point where white nationalism has sort of spread like wildfire through the web and frankly across the Western world. And it's a movement that is growing. Both if you count the number of hate groups, if you look at the kind of material you find online, and of course it's creating mass violence like the horror that we saw in Christchurch, New Zealand a few weeks ago. So it's a pretty serious topic.
This was supposed to be Congress sitting across the table from a panel of experts on hate and white nationalism, which is super exciting because finally this is a fountain of knowledge for Congress to draw from. You also had two executives from Facebook and Google sitting there, platforms where white supremacy has run rampant. And so we have all of these people in the same room ready to take questions and talk to each other about this huge problem. Then they introduce far-right conservative Candace Owens, who Republicans invited. Candace Owens became famous for her appearances on InfoWars, which is a conspiracy theory show by conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. She kind of skyrocketed after Trump tweeted her last year. She was at CPAC earlier this year, and she's a regular on Fox News. But she's also consistently the loudest person in the room, and I think that's a good guess as to why she was invited here, because she completely derailed the entire day.
She's also a Black American who the GOP brought to talk about something very specific here. Tell us a little bit about how that went down.
She says that she was the victim of a hate crime herself, but really what the conversation turned to was she immediately said that white supremacy wasn't a big deal. She said that hate crimes were not on the rise, that that was fake. She immediately, with her opening statement, said that this entire meeting was a farce.
White supremacy, racism, white nationalism, words that once held real meaning, have now become nothing more than election strategies. Every 4 years, the Black community is offered handouts and fear. Handouts and fear.
I want to lay out a couple of things here. Charlottesville, Pittsburgh, Black Lives Matter. I mean, we can go on and on with real data and real incidences that show that white supremacy and nationalism are on the rise. Heidi, your response to what Owens's comments were?
Well, I mean, her comments are not just wrong, they're outrageous, and they're an attempt to act as though a very, very serious problem doesn't exist. I mean, it's really unfortunate that Republicans would bring someone like her to talk about, you know, an ideology, a way of thinking that has led to several mass shooting incidents. And I might add that Candace Owen was also listed as an inspiration in the manifesto of the New Zealand shooter. So that makes it even more of a mockery. I mean, look, she's just flat out wrong, and she's trying to minimize something that's really serious and needs to be dealt with in a serious manner.
Andy, there was also someone else there, Muhammad Abu Salah, and his children were killed in a hate crime. Tell us about Dr. Abu Salah. Who brought him, and what's his story?
Well, the Democrats, I believe, invited him, but his two daughters and son-in-law were killed in a racist shooting at UNC Chapel Hill.
February 10, 2015, that was the day our lives changed forever when my two daughters, Yusuf and Razan, and my son-in-law, Dia, were shot to death execution style. When we arrived at the scene, yellow tape and flashing lights froze the blood in our veins. We had waited almost 6 hours before police officers confirmed that Dia, Risa, and Razan had all been shot to death. But we never heard in the media that the murderer hated them. Trouble began when this man observed my two daughters appearing on the scene, adorned with their hijabs. This condescending man told her he hated how she looked and dressed.
And he has been an activist ever since. And so these are the types of stories that we wanted to hear and what we wanted Congress to hear. So to have Candace Owens sitting at the same table as him saying that what he experienced isn't real, it was devastating. And then, you know, Republican congressman, Representative Ken Buck of Colorado joked with Candace at one point saying that she triggers the libs and said, you should come shoot guns in Colorado with me sometime. To have that exchange happen when Mr. Salah was sitting a few chairs away, I mean, it's insensitive and it's wrong.
There were also lots of comments during the testimony, during the hearing in YouTube, that was live streaming the hearing, Heidi. Tell us a little bit about YouTube's response and what they felt that they had to do and the nature of those comments.
Yeah, well, the YouTube live stream of the hearing was just filled with racist, anti-Semitic, sort of the ugliest sentiments you can imagine. And YouTube eventually had to cut that off because it was so out of control. And if anything demonstrates how serious this problem is in the United States and around the world, it was the fact that that kind of vitriol could be thrown so quickly at YouTube. And frankly, it also shows the role the technology plays in spreading these beliefs. I mean, this is the main way that white supremacists get their ideas out there. They don't have any other platforms other than the web to say what they have to say. And it's unfortunate that that dimension was also mocked by at least one of the Republican congressmen there.
Heidi, I want to pick up on what you just said about technology. Alexandria Walden, who's Google's public policy counsel, responded yesterday to a question about how Google is addressing white nationalism. Let's take a listen.
Internally, we have an intel desk that looks to see and track trends of what we're seeing on our platform, but also we engage with external experts so that we can understand what others are seeing.
Heidi, is that enough?
It's not enough. I mean, frankly, the mainstream platforms like YouTube, like Facebook, Twitter, did not really wake up to this problem or take it seriously enough until after the horrible events in Charlottesville in August of 2017. And so they're really behind the eight ball in terms of getting this kind of material off of their sites. I'm assuming that they will get better at this in the future, but it's been kind of a mess for the last couple of years.
Andy, I want to go a little further here because there's a lot of attention on Google and Facebook and YouTube and whether these companies are doing enough to prevent these messages from being spread. Did the issue of where this is even coming from come up at all in this hearing? In other words, you know, we're talking about preventing it, but that feels like a game of whack-a-mole, to be honest with you. What about the root causes in this country that are leading to this increase in white nationalism? Was that even addressed in this hearing?
I would say that they didn't have much more time with the, you know, Facebook and Google exec to do anything more than let them read off of a press release. However, Facebook has shown the inability to find and deal with the root cause here. After the New Zealand shooting, Facebook came out with new expanded rules saying extremism, white nationalism, white supremacy are not allowed on our platform anymore. They're just done. A week later, after they came out with these rules, I gave them an easy test, a softball, saying, here is a prominent white nationalist whose name is Faith Goldie. She's one of the most prominent white nationalists in North America. She has videos on here saying that Jews and black people are invaders who should pay white Europeans to live in their countries. They responded by saying, despite their new rules, that this wasn't white nationalist at all and is fine on our platform. There was outcry, and they finally deleted Faith Goldie's Facebook. One of the representatives at this hearing read some of that story and offered it to the Facebook exec, who just responded and said, you know, this is a game of whack-a-mole. We'll take him down when we see him. It's obvious that they don't have the ability to find things before we out them as the media.
Heidi, what about the root causes here? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this also. There's one thing to control the messages that are coming out, but what does this tell us about the state of the United States today in terms of, I mean, we've never had an easy history when it comes to race. We've even struggled to call things racist when they clearly are. But this rise in white nationalism, I think, is pointing to a deeper issue in our society.
Yeah, well, there is a segment of the American society, and this is rooted in our history, that is not very happy with the changing demographics that we're facing. You could actually say this about the entire Western world, where immigration is changing the demographic makeup of countries. And they're reacting in a very ugly way to those changes. And that's one of the things that's been driving the number of hate groups up. But there are other factors that fuel that negative behavior. The amount of sort of sewage online, the recruiting that goes on there into hate groups, and frankly, the actions of prominent political figures who play to those fears. Donald Trump has played to anti-immigrant sentiment, anti-Muslim sentiment, and that's true of other politicians in the United States and far-right populists abroad. And those people, when they do that, they sanction those beliefs, which makes people feel more comfortable sort of, you know, putting out extremist ideas, being racist, being anti-Semitic. So we have a dynamic where the online world is fueling this, changing demographics are making some people insecure, and politicians of the highest levels are also sanctioning those kinds of thoughts and ideas. And this is all turned into a very combustible mix that results in things like what happened at the Pittsburgh synagogue or at the mosques in Christchurch.
Heidi Beirich of the Southern Poverty Law Center and Andy Campbell of HuffPost have been with us. Thanks to you both.
So good to be here.
Thank you.